Hello, beautiful alchemist. Welcome to Reiki Radio. I'm your host, Yolanda, and we are in season 10 of Reiki Radio. This season, I am looking forward to talking to more practitioners, more healers, more authors. I love, love, love learning from everyone's expressions on these journeys of self-awakening, of self-healing, and self-realization. And Reiki just happens to be the gateway or the portal or what leads many of us into this work of deep self-reflection and really refining and understanding relationship to self and all there is in deeper ways. So I am looking forward to having more of these beautiful conversations throughout this season and learning how different people are working with the divine intelligence that we call Reiki. Learning how different people are integrating Reiki with other systems and practices, just all of the things. But I also care about what you want to explore and understand. So please feel free, email me anytime if there's any particular topic or conversation that you would like to hear on the podcast. If there is something in particular that you are having a challenge with within your own personal practice that you would like explored and discussed, let me know. You can contact me through my website, theenergeticalchemist.com. Also, just want to let you know, when I first launched the Energetic Alchemist Oracle deck, I had a very short window for international orders. However, I received a lot of requests to open that back up. So if you are in the UK or Canada or Mexico, the window is open again for another short period of time. If you would like to order the deck, you can do that again through my website, theenergeticalchemist.com. And finally, one of the things I've been working on in the background, which I'm very excited to share, is I will be launching an app soon. So that way you can easily in one place connect with all things The Energetic Alchemist. You can watch the interviews from the podcast. You can join in for conversations after the episodes. In fact, if you have an Apple phone, you can already download the Energetic Alchemist app on your phone right now. And if you decide to activate membership there, one of the things you have access to is joining me for conversations after the episodes for like a live roundtable discussion about all of the podcast. And those roundtable discussions will take place on Tuesdays, but you can learn more about that on the app. Through the app, you can also access weekly readings by sign. There's a whole section dedicated to the Oracle deck where I'm sharing some tips of how to read, sharing some readings again by sign every single week, and some guided journeys and just tips and practices to help you with your own reading of oracle cards. There's also a section on the app called Bits of Tea where I provide to you some alchemy tools that help you in your journey of energetic alchemy. And then finally, there is a free content area, and in that space is where you can watch the interviews from Reiki Radio. There is also where you can view the energy of the month videos that I post at the start of every month. There's a lot there. So if you do have an Apple phone, you can download that now. If you have an Android, you will be able to download it soon. I think that is all of the updates I have for you. I hope that you all had a beautiful, wonderful, happy Lunar New Year, which was on January 22nd, which was also my birthday. Very interesting birthday this year. And we're officially in Aquarius season. So happy birthday to all of the beautiful Aquarians out there. I hope that you have a gorgeous birthday. And yeah, just looking forward to this year and what we will all learn throughout this gorgeous journey. But don't forget to reach out to me if you have any suggestions for upcoming podcasts. But for today, what we're going to dig into, there is this beautiful woman named Sheena Ewan, who I actually had the pleasure of interviewing during the Reiki Raise Healing Summit last fall. And Sheena lives in Toronto, and she has a collective there that she has founded called One People Toronto. And I was really interested to have this conversation with her again because I love hearing about people's connection to Reiki. But even more than that, she has created a space focusing on people of color and queer folk and tying that into the community of Reiki. So we have a discussion, and she shares a lot around why these types of healing spaces are important. Also, if you are curious about why people have spaces where they may be people of color only, or just these types of things. If you've wondered about it, been curious about it, wondered why, we do discuss that quite a bit in this episode. But she also shares not only her journey with Reiki, but also her journey working with plant medicine. So it is definitely a conversation. I don't think we've covered these topics on the podcast so far, but I hope you enjoy this. I hope you do gain some insight. If there is anything you would like to discuss after the episode, I'll see you over on the app. And if not, I will just see you on the other side. Bye for now. Okay, beautiful alchemists. Today on Reiki Radio, we have a beautiful guest that I had the pleasure of already interviewing for the Reiki Raise Healing Summit last fall. Her name is Sheena Ewan, and she is the founder of One People Toronto. Sheena, you know, I've been looking forward to talking to you again. So I just want to say, first of all, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me
Yeah.
back in session, essentially, with you.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of like a session of sorts. But your work was so interesting, and I really wanted to dive deeper into the beautiful space that you have created. I would love for people to learn more about One People, but also talking about the different points of focus within this community that you've built, because it's a bigger conversation within the Reiki community now that's starting to emerge, and it's a beautiful thing. So I want to start first with asking you about your work with Reiki. Can you just share with everyone how you even came into this work and yeah, how it's applied in your life?
Absolutely. So it's funny, when you're always asked about your journey, it's like, wow, so much, and where do you start, right? I came across Reiki really through Louise Hay, which was through The Secret at the time, and ended up manifesting her book. And at the end, and her story just really resonated with me. And at the back of the book, she has like a list of therapies, right? And I had really wanted at the time, this was 2007, 2008. I had really wanted to try acupuncture, but I was at the time, I was a little bit afraid of needles. Not, I mean, and now I love acupuncture, but and through my research, the most similar modality was Reiki. And so I ended up really because at the time I was going through, and I think, in retrospect, knowing a little bit about astrology, well, not a little bit, I study astrology, I'm an astrologer, that I was coming into like my Saturn return period. And also too, having experienced like childhood trauma, all kinds of, mental health kind of stuff and expressions, self-harm. And so by my late 20s, like I had left school early, really in search of what it is that I needed to be well, and really making that the focus, which when I think about it, in my late 20s, so like 20 years ago, not something that was cool or easy to do to, but I was really, I felt like forced into it. And so it sometimes, you just have to kind of like sit with what's going on. And so I ended up really through, I oftentimes say like a time of desperation, And also too, having had the privilege of having psychotherapy and feeling, for a good 10 years and feeling like this is good, but and medication, and that whole experience of, different medications and all of that. And at the time that I had gone, I think I was still on medication and just feeling like this is not enough, and I think sometimes this is where, it can kind of border into this conversation of dependency on something that will never be enough, And I mean, I can only speak for my body chemistry, but that was really my experience. And so feeling like on a soul spiritual level, the psychotherapy wasn't accessing something, and I couldn't identify what it was, but I just knew that I need more, and this is not enough. And I think that sometimes that's why, as as Black folks, as our community, we kind of get deterred, because it's like you're gonna bring up all this stuff, and then it's not transmuted. You know what I mean? It doesn't go anywhere. It's just up here, and now I have to deal with it. And so I really wanted to deal with it. So I started doing things like hypnotherapy. And then I ended up getting into Reiki and going for an experience one evening, just randomly. And the experience was so amazing, just indescribable as Reiki is. I literally like laughed, I cried, or maybe kind of giggled, or what is this? But in a releasing way, like I was accessing my inner child in a way that I hadn't been able to, and almost like my heart was cracked open. I tried to like sit up on the table, but it wasn't, it was almost like my spirit kind of needing to be released and not having the consciousness of what was going on. But afterwards, going home and feeling just open. And again, not having the language, but I remember thinking like, oh, this is so weird. It took me, the drive was 15 minutes, and I didn't, there was no red lights. I didn't have to stop once. And in my haze of depression at the time, it was like something little that I could notice and be like, that's weird, but you kind of brush things off. And then, like I think a lot of folks do, and I think I remember I mentioned this in the call too when we had talked in the last interview, that you get a massage or you go for a particular therapeutic session and you think like, okay, I'm good, thanks, I'll see you when I see you, like you get your hairdresser says like, come back in 4 weeks or 6 weeks, and you're like, I'll just stretch it out a little bit, and all of a sudden it's like 9 months later, right? So I didn't go back. And I will also say too that that person, and it's not necessarily, and I think we'll probably get into this too, sometimes it's not necessarily about race, but I think with what I was dealing with at the time that was coming up for the first time after many years, it wasn't something I would have felt comfortable talking with someone that didn't look like me, or at least I couldn't identify with. And so I was like, yeah, thank you for this amazing experience. I'll see you when I see you. And I didn't go back. And then like the next year, actually, my sister ended up, so this is 2010, my sister ended up going to like a book fair, and there was someone there that was in the self-help section doing Reiki. And so she ended up coming back to me with this woman's card. And at the time, the woman's card had a picture, when you would put like your baby face on the card. And it was a brown woman, not black, but still someone I could identify with. And my sister was like, oh, here, I did this, that random thing that you did, like almost as if you had gone back to a psychic, and it's like, you like psychics, here's this card. Not to compare it at all, but in the same idea. And I ended up going to this woman. We made a connection. She was very just gentle and something I really felt like I needed. And of course, the Reiki was just an amplification of who she already was, and really being able to hold me in a space of, or provide a container for healing that, again, I could, whether I could put words to or I didn't want to, but through my years, you hear different people describe Reiki, and someone at some festival that I had done. She like it was a someone as coming up as a client, and she was like, "I just feel like Reiki is like therapy without words, you know? Like there's so much processed, and I really, unless I choose to, I don't really have to say anything, you know?" Yeah, and so that was 2008, 2009. I got certified in my level one and two in 2012, and then my master teacher level in 2013. And since then, I've been, yeah, teaching classes, having sessions one to one. I've been actually also more recently being, well, recently as in the last 4 or 5 years, offering Reiki sessions and courses for institutions. So usually like, you know, education, post-secondary, not just for staff, but also for students. And of course, I think most particularly as the main intersection is folks that are dealing with some kind of mental health expression or condition. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Sheena. Yeah, there are so many things that you said that I'm like, we have to circle back to several of them. I want to start first, though, with what you mentioned about, you know, it brings up the whole topic of what more people are saying, or coming up even in this community, very specifically in the Reiki community, having, you know, safe space or having spaces or even healing circles and wellness circles that are specifically for Black and Brown people. And a lot of people question, they may not understand, right? So they're like, why does there have to be this space that's separate? And there's just a lack of understanding around it. So again, like, of course, everyone may have their reasoning of why they feel called or want to be in what feels like a safer space or being around people who look like them, or you feel safer in an environment with people that you know that can relate to your story and your experience. But I wanted to talk to you a bit about this as well. One, hopefully this conversation will be educational for a lot of people, but it also points to even the beautiful environment that you're creating as well. So can you talk a little bit about why this is important, especially when we talk about healing spaces, of why people oftentimes feel more comfortable in a space of sameness?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. I just shared about this on Instagram. I think, you know, you know, we can say, and I think it's said too, that healing, I don't know who said it, so I can't quote them, but healing is kind of like an onion, right? And I think rather than healing from the outside, really, we're starting to heal from the inside, right? It's almost like having this idea as if you were to cut the onion open and the heart was old, you'd feel like, ah, there's some, you know? And so we really want to start with the center. And so that is really in the idea of we get to a point, I think all of us get to a point in our own healing journey, no matter what we look like, where we need to heal by ourselves, you know? Like this is something I need to process personally to be able to say, I want to be able to connect with someone else on my healing journey and with whatever they're going through, and we can heal together. And generally, it looks like someone so that we can identify and feel most safe and most comfortable, right? I don't think it's a rejection of other races necessarily. I think that's kind of like the wrong focus and the wrong direction. It's really more of like what we need, not thinking about at the outside, you know what I mean? And it's funny because I was coming from my hometown, so I was on my way into the city thinking about, you know, we oftentimes think of like, you know, rejection is redirection, but it's really this reminder that we're not for everyone, and we're not supposed to be for everyone, and that ultimately, if there's a rejection, it's an indication that there's something that we need to give ourselves, right? I think that being able to heal with folks that look like you is healing, is literally, I really think, like, the idea of God and representation of yourself, right? And so being able to heal yourself while healing another. And I think at a certain point, if folks are ready, then they may identify with healing folks that don't look like them, but there is an innate safety in being held by someone that feels like a sister or a brother or a family member. There are certain experiences that we've had as communities that other folks can identify with, and not for lack of trying, but there is innate labor in having to explain your experience to someone else. And yes. Even in having to do that, that just takes away, you know, that just adds work where there doesn't need to be, right? And I think that's really the bottom.
That's the part, and that's what was coming to mind when we were saying this, the adding work where it doesn't need to be. I think a lot of what people may not understand is if you're in a healing space and you are, say, the only person of color in that space, and what may be coming up for you may be very much related to even your life experience that would be very different than everyone else in the room, then instead of just being held in a space of healing about what your particular experience is, you then may get diverted into explaining or it becoming about something other than what your healing is about, rather than being in a room of people who already understand. And again, like you said, you don't have to re-explain just the basics of what the trauma or the hurt may be. And it reminds me of too, because a lot of people, again, like there's a lack of understanding around this, and some people seem to be in this feeling about it or misunderstanding the purpose. But when you were saying it, made me think of different types of support groups as well. Like you may have something like AA, or you have, you know, groups that are very specific to a particular thing that we're trying to work through. And those spaces are just for people who are going through whatever that is. And so there's really no difference there, you know, So hopefully that is understood. Maybe that will have some people thinking or gives a bit of clarity around it. But I wanted to then pivot into this space that you've created with One People. So you started Reiki. Interesting, you had kind of like a long journey with it before actually taking classes. But now you've created this beautiful space to share and really focus on community. So could you talk a little bit about what inspired One People and what it is the focus is within this community?
Absolutely. So One People TO is an organization that I built in, or that I opened in 2019. I actually had the vision in 2018, and then I was like, maybe it's not supposed to happen now, you know. I think thought it would be in like 10 years or so. And then for whatever, I mean, for the reasons that we know now, I really felt like spirit was directing me to open this space. And I will also say too, it was preceded by the end of a relationship. And, you know, we live together. So I'll, you know, I think a lot of my focus was not just on the relationship, but other things that were happening. And so then I was catapulted into this space of solitude. And so really being able to think about like, what is it that I want to do next? And really thinking about a lot of things that had happened in the relationship, you know, also another Black folk. And so things that had come up made me think about really generational things, traumas, no matter the experience, identity, orientation, generation, you know, that things kind of are reflected in our experience, again, as Black folks specifically, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure this can be identified in all different communities for whatever their particular trends are. But as Black folks, we tend to experience certain trends that repeat familially, relationship-wise, that I felt like I really wanted to address personally. And I felt like I know I'm not alone. And I felt like it was an extension of the work that I was doing with Reiki for the past, you know, 8 years or so. And and really feeling like, even though, I mean, now it was like five, getting on 5 years ago that I started, this plan, really thinking that, really connecting it to Reiki, this soul level healing that it does, right? And this really retrieval, and the more that I do work with Black folks, the more that there's this real affirmation that this is an ancestral practice for us. It's beyond, because Reiki, the title of it was, and I practice, so I respect, but it was really to give framework to something that was innate within me and that I already knew. And empowering me to access and not be afraid of, or at least be willing to step more into my power. Whereas before, it was almost told to me that it was blasphemous for me to think of myself as powerful, And so I was like, okay, don't get too angry because you're gonna, and then people might get upset and they won't know how to handle you. And of course, as Black folks too, we have an innate need to be protective. But I just felt like, back to this idea that therapy, one is really, and now it's coming out too. Sometimes it's funny because I personally, I've not finished my post-secondary education. And I think that it's not necessarily identifier of success. Even though it's something that I still strive to accomplish and I slowly work at it, but it's not something that I'm in a rush to do anymore. Because I think that, and it's been proven, as I was saying, that, a lot of these practices are co-opted. And when you think of what Black folks need, besides one-to-one connection, is also community support, right? And when you think of ancestral practices, a laying on of hands and touch and connection, I think we want that from someone that looks like us because we've been ultimately, and sometimes I think this can be a little controversial, but we've been pitted against each other, within our community, also within other melanated communities, and Black folks get it the worst. And I think that's something that we can is also connected to like a sense of distrust within ourselves because we've been taught not to trust ourselves. And I feel like Reiki addresses all of these things, and we don't have to spend $200 or $250. I mean, depending on whatever the circumstances, but whatever you would pay for therapy. And it's not to discount because I have a therapist. It's not to discount what therapy does. But this is also a valuable practice, that we can give peer to peer. And obviously, there are people that have their experience, and different folks will charge different rates. But I think it's something that we can all learn, and it doesn't even have to be called. And it's again not a detriment to the learnings and the teaching that I have, but it doesn't have to be called Reiki, it's whatever we call it. But there is, Kemetic Reiki is an example that. Reiki existed before 1920 or, 1928 when it was established by, named and titled and ultimately colonized, right? And it's not a disrespect again, because the practice has brought me so much. And I think sometimes this is the complexity of it all, right?
Yes, there is actually someone else, and I can't think of her name right now, unfortunately, but I interviewed her in the summit as well, and she brought this topic up a bit, and it was pointing to the fact that a lot of cultures obviously were practicing some form of energy work even prior to Reiki being established. In that, I mean, there are just so many variations of energy work. I mean, not just the laying of hands, but even we look at like something, say like Tai Chi or Qigong, and all, like energy work has shown up in so many forms. But yeah, so we have this system that we have labeled as such, but it is a very interesting thing when we don't hold anything too tightly in a box, what it does awaken and point us to for our own healing, just like you shared so beautifully, and even how Reiki in of itself has illuminated for you this path of ancestral healing. I mean, that's It's phenomenal. But you're also making me want to explore and ask you more about, because you mentioned at the beginning how before you found Reiki, you were working with other therapies and modalities, but it just felt like something was missing. But then you just mentioned a moment ago how this work really connects to us on a soul level. And I think that's often the missing component with the other modalities. Like, yeah, you can process my thoughts, what I'm thinking, we're bringing up my emotions, I got it. But it's that soul level, kind of like the bringing it all together. Yeah, exactly. So I wanted to know what that was like for you, bringing in this element and how interesting it is. I just have to say, so many people I've met in this work were literally seeking some form of wellness. And a lot of people had gone through a lot of different services, but always feeling like there was this missing component because none of it was pointing to spirit or soul level. Yeah. So what has that been like with you, the integration of, because you said you still work with therapy. So what is the beauty of the combination?
Absolutely. It's really integration, you know, and
Right.
it's funny because now it's a trendy word. But I think, you know, maybe about 3 or 4 years ago, I started calling my work, and it was really not a reflection of Reiki on its own, but a conglomerate of all the things that I do. So astrology, tarot as well, and being able to meld the three and calling it soul alchemy, right? But not really thinking it was only the Reiki. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to because they're all modalities in it. Itself, but the Reiki specifically being energy work really helps to bring all of like these disparate pieces together that you think are that don't fit. And on a you know if you think about it, you know, on a level of like cooking or something like that, right? You're bringing all of these and being able to identify, like, oh, I'm putting the broccoli in. Okay, now I'm putting the soy sauce in. And I'm not going to put, like, maybe I will put peanut butter in, but I'm not going to put something that's like gross and doesn't go with, you know, all of this meld. And it helps it to make sense and to make it unified, you
Right.
know, rather than feeling like, because even if, similar in the idea of cooking or that your body chemistry, your body knows when something's missing. You know, you may have a craving for something. For example, when I'm receiving, like, you know, starting to get my cycle, I might need more iron. So my body, I want a burger, not
Yeah.
really thinking like, oh, why am I craving some iron? You know, you
Right.
wouldn't think about it like that, but your body knows,
Yeah.
even if you can't say, okay, well, I went to get a blood test and I know that I'm low on iron. You know what I mean?
Right.
The body knows,
Yeah.
and the soul
Yeah.
knows.
And it's such an amazing thing because a lot of people, even though we can clearly tell you how we came into this work, and we may be even able to identify, like mine was, relief of stress was the goal, right? But there's something so much deeper that calls us forward that we don't even recognize until we start applying and really digging our hands into the work. And it's interesting to hear you say this about soul alchemy, because that's the exact reason that I called my work the Energetic Alchemist, because of the different elements of what I practice and seeing how they were all pointing to some layer or aspect of my awakening, but just from different vantage points. But yes, very much the same. So I wanted to circle back to, one people and the space that you've created. I saw that you have four pillars, and it is to decolonize, to heal, to inspire, and transform. So could you talk a little bit more about, I know you said that you offer Reiki there, and you teach classes and you have sessions, but who is the community really for, and how is that changing? Because it's not just one people, Toronto necessarily forever.
Yeah, definitely. So the community is Black-led, queer-focused. So that those are my intersections of many. I think it's important, like I was saying earlier, to recognize that there are levels to healing pattern, like we heal in cycles and patterns. And I think there is a level of healing that goes beyond us, right? Because I oftentimes think like, as much healing as I do within myself and within my community, and I feel like that's where we need to start if folks haven't been doing that, is that we need to, because there is an healing that needs to happen there, not just with folks that don't look like us, right? Because I think sometimes there can be something there that we, there's like a self-rejection and like unconscious, right? And once we're able to do that, or in conjunction with being able to do that when we're ready, I think there's a because anti-blackness exists everywhere in every community, right? And I think there is an opportunity for us as educators, because as Black folks, we are trendsetters, creators, right? That we too not just have, I mean, is it a responsibility? I kind of want to use that word. Just as much as we create and inspire and entertain, I think we also do have a responsibility to educate the world and how we need to, if we want to think about ourselves as a human race, which we really are, but we don't act that way, then let the people that have been the most underestimated, disenfranchised, taken advantage of, lead, because they're the ones that know. And we're just, I think, innately as a culture, inclusive. We want to be that way, you know? It's when we feel like things we're being extracted from, then it's like, no, we need some space and we deserve that. Are whether it's, well, I don't really do tarot one-to-one or in a group setting. Well, here at One People, but maybe that's something that's coming up, as well as inviting other practitioners to do their work, whether we do it in conjunction or they use the space, but what practitioners as can be members, and so they can rent the space at 50% off, and or sometimes there's like a negotiation depending on where practitioners are in their journey, right? So I really like to think of this as a hub, not just for the community as individuals, but also for us as practitioners, as caregivers. A main reason that I opened this space was because I had issues renting from white presenting folks or folks that didn't look like me. And not even to say like issues that were conflict, but oh, you didn't pay me and there everybody else was paid, but my check isn't here when I come to pick it up. And why is it a big deal for me to, I'm coming from out of town. Why can't you just direct deposit it? You know, like there's and things like that that maybe other people, oh, they don't have to pick up their check, but they have a partner or they're getting paid more. So, but our circumstances are often different and we're carrying more. And you don't want to have to explain that, right? And you shouldn't have to. And so I kept kind of, never mind, not even being able to access certain places because people didn't want you to be a part of their community. And they wouldn't say that, but oh no, we're not looking for that right now. And then a couple of months later, you see that they're offering something that they weren't offering that you had offered to offer, you know? Like, so, right? Like, okay, I get it. And so I was like, I can't be the only Black person that is doing tarot and astrology or that loves these practices, that wants a spiritual community that is not relegated by the church, and the structures of that, and that wants to connect on a soul level. That's not, that may be witchy, but that doesn't have to be witchy, you know? Yeah, just to be able to be in a creative space and a creative spiritual space that's not that we're not avoiding talking about what it feels like and what it looks like to have dreams and intuitions and directions, you know, to really be able to empower ourselves to use that because that's where our technology is and we've been told like not to use it.
Yeah, it's Coming up to ask you, I'm so curious because yes, it is a space where people can come and practice, whatever they practice, and practitioners can rent the space and all of these things. But even hearing you share, I'm very curious if you offer lectures there. Are there group or community discussions that are very specific around the topics you're sharing now, or even giving practitioners the space to just voice whatever is coming up for them in the work?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's funny. I'm actually having a practitioner town hall this evening, and we had one a couple of weeks ago. So it's something that's been it's interesting. It's been in the works, and then around September last fall anyway, I had really like a group of maybe like 10 or 12 folks, and we were talking about just like the opportunities and the potential of what it is that we need as practitioners. And it really became clear, and this is something that I've been working on since then. And so now in January, starting to offer it. Really, and this is virtual, so folks can, come from wherever. And really being able to talk about what we need as caregivers, as healers, particularly for folks that, and again, not to say that. I mean, there may be some iterations that are Black only, and there are some iterations that are Black only. I had one in September, and that was in person rather than on. Well, we did do it online as well. But I think that there's a need to have Black only, Black Indigenous melanated folks, as well as, the whole community, whoever wants to come. One, so I think as being, being Black led, that we can really lead the conversation and center ourselves as leaders, as knowledge keepers, as experts, and really being able to learn from each other and be held by each other. I think that is, I think there's a slight energy of like competition in the spiritual space. And I think a main part of One People, TO, soon to be One People for me, is this idea that we're not meant to serve the world. We don't want to, really. I mean, I don't want to. And it's not to say that we won't be at certain levels or elevations or whatever the term you want to use. But I think we all can, I think, get burnt out from time to time. And so being able to have that community of, spiritual workers, healers, and healers aren't just medically college supervised, right? Healers are your mental health peer workers or your creative practices, massage therapists, acupuncturists, and Reiki practitioners, right?
It's really interesting. I'm glad that you bring this up because I think it's one of the things that people often let fall to the wayside when they come into feeling called to hold space and share or do some form of work that is in support of others on their healing journeys. They often neglect their own healing, or they do come into these spaces of feeling burnt out in this, and then they may, I've met a lot of practitioners who fall into judgment of themselves, thinking they're doing something wrong or I'm not good at what I'm doing because I'm feeling not just tired, oftentimes resentment, oftentimes, I mean, just so many different things. And yeah, so it's beautiful that you're creating this space where all of this can be discussed. So you said that it is virtual. So with all of the services that you provide, what can people connect with that aren't necessarily there in Toronto?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the, I would say probably at least once a month, we do the practitioner meetup. So there is an in-person but iteration as well as online. We're more online, I will say, throughout the winter because we are a winter country, right? So not everyone wants to be trekking out. And then we also too just have like conversations, whether it's around the new moon and the full moon. So that's something that will be starting up in March, at the I would say the lunar new year, but the astrological, sorry, the astrological new year. And as well as, depending on what folks are offering. So we had a microdose and sound session just on Friday. So a lot of the sessions that we actually do in person are also offered online, depending on who the practitioner is and what the session is. And we'll definitely be as more practitioners come on board, which seems to be, coming and happening. We're inviting folks to be able to offer their own, offerings or sessions and open it up to the community as well, depending on what that looks like. But as of right now, it's mostly Reiki, sound sessions, practitioner kind of conversations and town halls. And we have been doing movement, but that hasn't been in the last, since the new year anyway.
Okay, so there's quite a lot that people can come and connect with. Yeah, so of course, of your website and all of the links to connect with you will be in the show description. But I just want to mention this before I ask you about the next thing. You can be followed on Instagram under two different handles. So Aquarian Soul Life is one, and then your other handle is One People TO. So, and that's short for Toronto. And of course, people can sign up for your newsletter and find out all of the offerings and what's upcoming and all of these things. So I do recommend that they do that as well. But you mentioned the sound work and psychedelics. So I know that this is also, interestingly, I've met several practitioners lately that are integrating in plant medicine with whatever method of other healing that they're doing. So could you talk a little bit about this, like how you were introduced to it, what it has added to your personal healing journey. And even I want to ask you, why do you think it's become such a popular thing recently?
Yeah, definitely. It is similar to Reiki in that there is an innate understanding, you think, scientifically, chemistry-wise, within the body. And again, thinking, knowing that this is practice, of course, is not for everyone, like Tylenol is not for everyone, right? But plant medicine. I think every person that's indigenous to somewhere has a plant or relationship to plants and herbs, whatever they're, connected to. And I think it's something that has been vilified, similar to how cannabis has been, because it traditionally has been known as medicine, right?
Right.
And I think that is not, that's obviously sativa, cannabis sativa or indica is indigenous to certain locations around the world, just like certain mushrooms are, whether they're, anti-food, superfood, mushrooms or psychedelic mushrooms, similar to iboga, which is really based out of West Africa. Or ayahuasca, which is from South America. So I think, there are lots of practices all over the world that actually have this ancestral connection to plants and plants that can alter the mind or help you to transcend certain soul afflictions, if you will. But I think that they've really been suppressed and then cultivated by cultures that come from outside and then extract that. And I think, yes, we can, I think what's coming up and, right now, as well as what we can see. And I think maybe we have been going through a process of that. But the ultimate gift, I think, is being able to take it back and say, oh, you rediscovered it. I mean, maybe you suppressed it, but now we're also all having access to it. So that's something I guess I could say I'm grateful for. And it was really through someone that doesn't look like me that really blessed me with the opportunity to go to Costa Rica for an ayahuasca retreat that I could have never afforded. I didn't ask for it necessarily. I didn't, and I don't think it was really necessarily for me. Someone can go, and she was like, you're the first person I thought of. And so it was really just a gift and a blessing. I can't say enough good things about it. It just opened me up in a really similar way to, and it obviously in a more extended way, but to Reiki. On a soul level, there was a deep level of integration that I didn't have to speak to, that I was like powerfully, cathartically tearful and grateful for. Like, oh my God, thank you for this healing and breaking of my heart, but healing of my heart. Profound realizations that brought profound gratitude in a really a place of darkness actually at the time. And just like, a time of just like let this be over. Sometimes you're just trying to get through things, and then 6 months later I opened One People.
Oh,
Yeah. So, and again, I think it was something that because, just maybe a month or two before that, I had an experience of wanting to open One People, or at least having the idea of it and thinking like, hey, maybe I could do this, and started looking around for spaces. And I went to a space and the guy was selling it with his dad, or renting with his dad, and it was going to be like a sublease basically. Or the person that was already there was, which was also a person of color, was trying to get out of their lease, and they thought the place was so cute, and it was my number, and they were. It was like the worst racial experience that I've had.
oh, wow.
Like they ended up asking me what my grandmother did for money, like all kinds of just horrible. Like they don't want a church there. It was really like devastating. And I felt like, oh, okay, I can't do this. Or this is not the time, This was 2018. And then December 2018, over the new year, I went to Costa Rica. And then I was like, oh, yeah, oh, my life. Forget, not even forget that, because it was still, it still affects me right now, obviously, right? But it made me, it was like again peeling off the onion, that it just was like I feel refreshed. I came back, and I smoke cannabis as a practice, as a medicine. I drink coffee regularly. I don't eat unhealthily, but sometimes I'll have. And after I came back, I didn't want, not to say I didn't want, it was just not even conscious. I woke up and I didn't, it was 10 or 11 o'clock, hadn't had a coffee. I would roll something and it would be hours, and I would be like, I thought I was gonna go out and smoke, like there was just no attachment, or the attachment was repaired, in a way that I didn't ask for, I wasn't expecting, a real soul cleansing. And I came back to Toronto and I was like, that was just amazing. All these things happened. Obviously, I opened One People, and probably by the fall, I kind of felt like, and maybe because you start to get back into the routine of things. I was still in my 9 to 5, and starting to feel like, oh, things are getting, we're getting back. Like January comes, you're like, what am I doing? But it was September, but it's, being in the academic world, September, so the whole year starts, and I was like, this is not the place. This is not the place. And I felt like I needed another, but ayahuasca generally isn't available here unless you're kind of doing it underground, which I like to, when I'm doing practices, like decolonized practices, as much as I can, bring it back to the place where it should be, depending on what that is. And so I didn't access that here. And then I was like, what's the closest thing? And I was like, mushrooms, but it just wasn't similarly accessible. And then I guess it was, yeah, that was 2019. So 2020, February, actually February, because it was leap year, the 29th of February, I did a session. And I will say, just briefly, because I know we're I'm talking, I did a session with two folks that didn't look like me. And it's not to say that doesn't have to be the experience, but to do something, I think. And also, I think I should say, when I did the ayahuasca experience, all of, I think probably I was maybe the only Black person there, maybe out of like 60 people. But it was really like an individual experience where I was doing it here in my space with two people. And so it was just three of us. And one person was my best friend, who I'm actually no longer best friends with, unfortunately. Things happen. And but I was there was a third person, and it just really reminded me of the safety of what it means to be in an altered state with people that don't know you well. And this goes for anything, that don't know you well, that can subject harm in a way that maybe they don't realize it's not intentional. And I guess this could happen in any culture. But I think when there's a slight from someone else, it's a deeper cut. Some, I mean, depending on what the experience is. And so after that, there was so much that came up. It's not like the whole bad experience was bad. It wasn't at all. It was just an innate reminder of the safety of where I do this and, who's around me. Yeah, there was just so much gratitude for me having opened the space. It felt like my ancestors were like, "You did it. You did it. You're here now. Just hold on, it was just so, there was just so much gratitude for me opening the space, and like an applause. And then so throughout 2020, I ended up doing probably like two sessions a month by myself, and really documenting my whole experience. So how much I was taking at the time that I was taking it, the strain that I had, I did so much journaling, so much information came through. And then I did a lot of integration around that with by myself, but then also sharing with my therapist as well at times. And not, every time, but certain things that would come up and I wanted to talk about things. And then I will say in April of 2020, I also did like a psychedelic integration post grad certificate with Fluence, which is a psychedelic training center out of New York, a white led institution, but very knowledgeable, right? One of the forefront leaders, as oftentimes these things are, which is okay at times. You go where you go, and I had the opportunity to go, which I'm grateful for. And so it just opened up more awareness and connections. And then last year, I was in Jamaica and was able to lead a retreat for an organization called the Wake Network, or Wake Well, wake.well on Instagram. And there's kind of based out of Jamaica, also based out of Canada, and they do retreats for it's really more of like a luxury retreat, but for people that have that are experiencing mental health expressions or traumatic brain injury symptoms. And so and I will say probably since the late 2021, start or mid 2020, somewhere around there in that time frame, starting to do sessions for other people that, friends and family. And then in 2021, opening that up to people, really like Black women, BIPOC folks. And then I will say in April of 2020, when I did the retreat with Wake, it was with folks that for the really, well, unless it was like a close friend, for folks that I didn't know.
That is amazing. I'm listening and I'm just thinking of like I'm envisioning in my mind like this web of experience and expression that you've had, and then how you've brought it all together into this space, building this community. But I love of your story that you're never losing the sight and the necessity for your own healing throughout it all. Because again, I think a lot of people get so caught up in just the being of service that they
100.
neglect the healing and the even learning for themselves. And it's like, no, don't stop. Like keep recognizing even that initial spark of what led you to healing in the first place. Like that part of us that is constantly echoing and guiding the next direction and the next step or the next tool even. That will help us with that next layer of the onion that you spoke about. Yeah, it's really interesting. I just wanted to, because some people, they might not know BIPOC, but I'm Black and Indigenous people of color. Yeah, just in case you're wondering, what does she mean? What's BIPOC? Although Google is your friend, but there, that's what it is. Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing, Sheena, and I am excited to hear that you are considering going more international with this work, so that one people isn't just relegated to Toronto. But very cool now that anyone listening, if they do feel called to join the community, they can attend the virtual practitioner sessions, but they can also work with you. So
Yes.
there's plenty of offerings that you have. I just want to make sure you told us about, oh my gosh, this went so fast. I can't even believe it. But maybe we'll just have to have another conversation.
Absolutely. That's one
Yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So like definitely you and I will plan. I'm really thankful that you came to have this conversation because I really did enjoy our interview during the summit. So it's
Me
good to
too.
see you again and seeing that you are going to expand the work. So for everyone listening, again, if you want to connect with Sheena and One People, go to Aquarian Soul Life on Instagram or One People TO also on Instagram. Is there a particular website you want to direct anyone to, or is that the best way to reach you?
Well, on Instagram, yes, but also they can, there's the One People TO website, so that's onepeopleto.ca, or there's my personal website, Sheena Denise, so that's SHEENADENNISE.com.
Perfect. Okay. So I'll make sure to put all of those ways to connect with you, my love, down in the show description. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in today. Be sure to connect with us. Let us know any thoughts, questions, feelings you had come up, and we can discuss it next time. Bye for now. Okay, beautiful alchemist. I want to thank Sheena again for coming on Reiki Radio and sharing her story, her journey, her work with us. I always appreciate anyone who comes to share and just contribute to our collective process of healing, growth, and understanding. So, if you would like to connect with Sheena again, you can go to her website, which is onepeopleto, short for Toronto, .ca. You can also follow her on Instagram at Aquarian Soul Life or her other page on Instagram, which is at One People TO. I have all of the links to connect with Sheena down in the show description, of course. And if you would like to work with me, learn from me, take my online classes, get my oracle deck, any of the things, you can find all of that information on my website, theenergeticalchemist.com. I thank you so much for being here. I look forward to connecting with you through the new app. And remember to always journey in love.